morning and welcome. Special hello to you if you're visiting with us today. We are glad that you are here to celebrate God's presence in our hearts and in our lives this Sunday, which is All Souls Day. And we are all souls, and we know that we have a great cloud of wonderful souls around us too. Yes. There are two announcements that I'm to call your attention to, and I can't remember them, but hold on. Oh, yes, of course, the food drive. The food drive has begun, and you can drop off your non-perishable items here at the church and for the next 3 weeks as well. And the other is that Carol will be preparing the envelopes for next year, and if you need to make any changes to that, just please see her. Reminder that not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, our book group meets, and we still have copies of the book available in the library. It's Barbara Brown Taylor's Holy Envy. We'd love for you to join us. But now let us take a deep breath in and prepare our bodies as our hearts, our souls, our minds, we offer them all to the God who gave this gift to us. Let us join together in our call to worship, inspired by Psalm 32. I refuse to hide the worst piece of myself from God.
And through my transparency, God shares divine grace.
I allow God to know the depths of my grief.
And through my openness, God shares divine peace.
I refuse to keep silent. In knowing my voice, God shares divine presence.
And through my vulnerability, God shares divine strength.
And please rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, number 187, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead me.
Please pray with me. Christ, who abides as our holy guest, we rush to find you as if you are a favorite celebrity. We look for you in the pretty people with seemingly uncomplicated lives. And yet, you are hanging with folks who many consider quirky, unique, and holy messes. You seek companions with our neighbors who are scattered and whose lives seem like fountains of chaos. We neglect noticing you as you like to dwell with the ones who abide in corners, shadows, and hidden in trees. May we seek you in the hearts of our neighbors instead of being distracted by shallow charmers and earthly glamour. Amen. Hear the good news, my siblings in Christ. Even when we are drawn into spaces of glitz and glamour, God shares grace. May we each continue to be transformed by divine radical love. Amen. Say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's love and peace. Peace be with you.
Thank you. We come now to offer ourselves to God in prayer. This is somewhat of a special Sunday. It's in many churches, particularly Protestant churches, All Saints Sunday. Not so much in All Souls. So I've put in here All Souls. That's mostly Catholic, but that's okay. We can be ecumenical here and be All Saints and All Souls as well. It's a special time to be reminded that we do not live our lives to ourselves. We are not alone. The Bible says there's a great cloud of people surrounding us. It's in the book of Hebrews. It's in the New Testament. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And like a runner in a stadium, this cloud, these people who've gone before us, they are cheering us on. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't falter. I'm with you. We are with you. Keep running the race. And so, All Saints, All Souls Sunday is a time when we remember we are blessed by this company. I'm going to have a moment of silence during the prayer. And would you feel free, if the Spirit leads you, during that silence, just to say the name, someone who's gone from us, from your life or our life in the church, maybe a friend, maybe a relative, someone who's given you something that keeps you going. Their lives continue to bless your life. So please feel free to do that as we give thanks for those who've gone before us. In our prayer concerns, let's be reminded this morning of the terrible devastation that has swept through the Caribbean. And we think particularly of Jamaica. See these pictures? People who've lost everything they could possibly have. And they're without electricity, they're without medical care, they're without housing, without food and water. It's just terrible, terrible thing. Also, Cuba. I had a conversation with a friend some time ago where I mentioned the churches in Cuba. And he said, there are no churches in Cuba. And I said, oh, of course there are. I have friends who go to Cuba and who have a sister relationship with churches in Cuba. There are many churches in Cuba, Catholic and Protestant. Oh no, he said, there are no churches in Cuba. Friend, there are churches in Cuba. There are believing Christians, and many of them have felt the storm's destruction. Well, that's a long introduction to the prayer, but it is a special time. And I like to ask that you let your heart be open, your life fully surrendered as we join in prayer now. Let us pray. O God of the ages, of every time and place, we praise you this day for all your servants who've gone before us, who have done justice and loved mercy and walked humbly with you. We thank you for apostles and martyrs and saints and souls of every time and place, who in life and death have witnessed to your truth. We praise you, O God, for all your servants who have faithfully served you, who have witnessed bravely, who have died in faith, who are still shining lights We praise you for them. And we praise you for those nameless, forgotten persons, no longer remembered, for they too sought you in darkness. They too held fast their faith in trial. They too have served others. We praise you, O God, for them. We praise you for those we have known and loved, family, friends, neighbors, who by their faithful obedience and steadfast hope have shown the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Especially we remember those who were part of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, who've left their legacy and their witness for our strength. In our silence now, we say silently, but also say boldly before one another, the name of someone who has given us a special blessing. Oh God, thank you for them surrounding us now, cheering us on. Keep us grateful for their witness, and like them, keep us eager, ready to follow wherever you lead as Christ leads us. And then at last, bring us with them to share in the inheritance of the saints in light through Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. And in Christ's name we remember to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We invite you to rise in body or spirit and sing our hymn of meditation. Today we are called to be disciples. Please be seated as our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering.
Scripture reading is Luke 19, 1 to 10, out of the New Revised Standard Version, updated. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacharias, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house tonight. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to be real to start off. This sermon, it's a little bit boring. I'm sorry. And the problem is that I love this passage, and I love working with it, and I love studying it and reading about it, and there was so much I wanted to share. I just wish we could sit down and have a conversation about this passage. But I say that because I'm going to start the sermon with two life hacks. And so don't fall asleep right at the beginning, because these are just general life hacks that are going to help you. They're going to change your life. They are. Okay. The first thing is, this is something I learned, both of these things actually from pastors, is that if you're in an unfamiliar city, or if you're in a national park, or if you're pretty much anywhere and you find that you have to find a clean restroom, find a hotel. And do not be put off by those signs that say restrooms are for registered guests only. They are only there as signposts that say they must have a restroom in the lobby. Don't be afraid. I have a friend named Jill, and we've traveled to a lot of national parks. And once we were at Zion National Park, and there were no restrooms anywhere except there was a Hampton Inn. And Jill said, I bet they have a restroom there. And I said, yeah, but we're not guests. They're going to know. And she said, no, my dad says you just go in and you pretend like you belong. You pretend like you belong. Oh, I don't know about that, Jill, you know. But she said, yes, you go in and go right upstairs and then come walking down as if you just come from your room and you just have to use the restroom. And so we did this and it worked. You just act like you belong there. And I won't say who Jill's father pastor is, but it's that guy right there. But it really works, dude. It totally worked. It totally worked. It totally worked. And the other thing is, and this, and I mean no disrespect to anybody in the medical profession, and I know that all of you in the medical profession, you have the patient's interest. That is central. But have you ever been needing to or wanting to or having to visit your loved one in the hospital and it wasn't visiting hours, it was way before or way after, or maybe it was during the quiet times, or they are in a section of the hospital where only patients and hospital staff are supposed to go, but they need you there and you need them? Or maybe it's when you've taken somebody to the emergency room and they finally get them in the back of the emergency room and then some sweet person says, just sit down and we'll tell you when you can go back. And it seems like forever, but you need to be there. They need you there. Well, Pastor Tim Spring from North Hills Community Baptist Church, when I was just in my 20s, he said, you just pretend like you absolutely belong in whatever section of the hospital that you're in. You just put on a smile, you look the doctors and the nurses right in the eyes as if you are on the special visitor list, and there's going to be no problem. Just behave yourself, don't be loud, don't get in the way of something important. And when he told me that, I was pretty skeptical. But I've been honing this craft for over 30 years now. I have gone into so many places, and last year, I had to be, my dear friend needed me there right before her surgery, and I got lost in the hospital at AGH, and I ended up wandering around in a very off-limits section of AGH with this hat on. Because it was winter, and this is my library hat, right? And no one said a word. I just smiled. I went right beside Joni's hand. I held her hand. I gave her a prayer. And so it's true. If we assume that we belong somewhere, it sets off some kind of an aura, some kind of vibe. Oh, yeah, don't say anything to her. Maybe they were afraid to say anything to me with the hat. Even if it's a place that you know you might not be welcome, if you need to be there, if your gut tells you you have to be there, don't try to hide it. Just go in as if you belong. One thing you don't want to do is hide or try to find some stealth way of getting to where you need to go, because that is just going to cause attention. Say, for example, that you are a largely hated, very rich tax collector during the time of Jesus. You are Jewish, but you work for the occupiers, the Roman government. You collect taxes from your own people. You're a sellout. You're despised. But you've heard about this guy, Jesus, and you want to see him for yourself. You really feel like you need to be there. There's going to be a crowd. It's going to be a crowd of people who you know, pretty much hate you. But you got to go. You got to go. You don't even know if Jesus would want to see you when you get there, because you know, remember, you're a rich man, and Jesus hasn't said some very welcoming and affirming things about rich people. Jesus said, woe to you who are rich. Jesus is the guy who told a story about a rich farmer who built bigger barns, and then God called him into account that very night. Jesus, yeah, you want to see this guy, even though he's the guy who told the story about the poor man Lazarus in heaven and the rich man in hell. And Jesus just had a conversation with a rich young ruler, and that guy walked away looking miserable. But still, there's something in your gut that says, I must see this man. I have to step out into this hostile crowd. And so you decide to be stealth about it. All right, I'm going to run on ahead of Jesus, and yeah, that's it. I'm going to climb a tree. And Jesus isn't going to look up there, and I can see him without anybody noticing, because I don't want the crowd to notice me. That's what Zacchaeus was planning. But that whole, there's nothing to see here in this tree, that didn't work out. Zacchaeus couldn't hide from Jesus. Yes, Zacchaeus, he spotted him. Yes, he has a great view. He's safely up there, away from the pushing and shoving crowd. But then all of a sudden, Jesus sees him. Hey, you up there. Zacchaeus, hurry, come on down. I'm coming to your house. And I wonder if Zacchaeus, you know, at first just looked around and tried to fake it, like, who, me? Or that other Zacchaeus in that tree there? You know what, me? Maybe he was shocked or fearful at first, but it mustn't have been for very long. Because once his cover is blown, Zacchaeus does come on down. And he runs over to Jesus and he starts to apologize and he promises that he's going to reform. And he's spotted by the crowd, and they don't buy it, and they're grumbling. Why are they always grumbling? Look at that. That's that weasel Zacchaeus. And Jesus is going to go to his house. We know Zacchaeus is a cheat and a fraud, and now we really know the kind of person Jesus is. He's got to be just as bad hanging out with the likes of him. You're showing your true colors, Jesus. And yes, Jesus is showing his true colors here. He's surprising everyone, especially Zacchaeus. And what he does is he helps Zacchaeus to see his own true colors. You see, you probably heard a lot of sermons about this passage, and we make a big deal, and that it's a faithful reading, but we make a big deal about how Zacchaeus' life is changed when he sees Jesus. But how true is that? We all want to see Jesus. We go many places. We come to church on Sundays. We go to Bible studies because we want to see Jesus. Does anybody know that song, Open Our Eyes, Lord, We Want to See Jesus? It's kind of a praise song, and it says, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, to say that we love him. Sadly, the thing is, the Jesus that we want to see, that we really feel comfortable seeing, is the one that we've made in our image. The Jesus who waves our flag and has the same signs in our yard, and the Jesus who's going to vote like we do. We want to see Jesus on our terms. Anne Lamott, to paraphrase what she says, we want to see the Jesus who hates all the same people that we do. But that's not who Jesus is. And just us seeing Jesus, and if we keep seeing Jesus the way we want to see him, we're not going to get anywhere. And so it was great that Zacchaeus saw Jesus. It was wonderful and everything. But the miracle happened. The salvation took place when Jesus saw Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus welcomed that gaze. And Zacchaeus was open to allowing Jesus to look upon him with all of his mistakes and all of his bad actions. And Zacchaeus was able to say, "Yes, see me, look at me. You love me just as I am, and you're coming to my home. Yes, come." When Zacchaeus was seen by Jesus and accepted the grace, the mercy, the tenderness of God, that changed him. "Half of my possessions, Lord, I'm going to give to the poor. Those I've ripped off, I'm going to pay back four times." Jesus looking at Zacchaeus, loving him just the same, and Zacchaeus accepting his belovedness as a child of God, finally understanding that he was already part of the kinship of the family. He didn't need to hide in a tree. And I wonder, what if Zacchaeus had assumed that he belonged to the family of God before he got that job as the chief tax collector? Maybe he never would have fallen so deeply in love with wealth and power and used his position to exploit and hurt others if he already knew that he belonged to God and belonged to the people that he could defraud or not defraud, if he knew that he was part of that group, that holy, all-inclusive, everybody, nobody on the outs. Because now that he sees that, now that he knows he belongs, he's got a new way of doing business. And so what if those in similar situations of power, what if they accept the divine gaze of love that signifies and reminds them of their sacred belonging? What if each one of us right now could accept the way that our God looks at us, a look of love and invitation? How much closer would we be to God's dream of a beloved community? There would be no need to act with vengeance. There would be no need to ridicule anyone else. No need to say those people are not worthy or welcome. Because if we all assume that we belong to God and to one another, that is going to change everything. I think it's worth trying. And we do it in little ways, and we do it in profound ways. In just a moment, we're going to act it out right here, this table, this open table, where all are welcome to come. The feast that our God has laid out for us here, all are welcome to come to this table. Assume that you belong, because we do belong. Amen. Let us rise and sing together verses 1 and 3 of our communion hymn, "Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts." Thank you.
Please be seated. There's one of the first books written for preachers on how to preach sermons said that there are basically four ways that you can preach a sermon. Inform, inspire, and the third one I really like, delight. Ing, you did all three. You informed us, you inspired us, and you made us delight. So thank you for those words. Just one thing else about my daughter and the use of the bathrooms. Not only did I teach her that you can always find a clean bathroom at a motel, there's also free coffee. She didn't tell you that.
No, she didn't tell me that.
Yeah. And so here's my bucket list. There's something I've always wanted to do. I want to start on the East Coast and travel all the way to the West Coast, getting free breakfast and free coffee all the way across the country and see if I can get away with it. That's like. And so we come to the table. Hear these words of institution from Scripture. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. Oh God, you are our help. We thank you for this supper, for this table, shared in the Spirit with your Son, Jesus, who makes us new and makes us strong, who brings us life eternal. We praise you for giving us every good gift. And we pledge ourselves at this table to serve you, even as in Christ you have served us. We declare with Christ his life, suffering, execution, and resurrection, that you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery, and made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit. And so we declare Christ has come among us, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ abides with us, Christ will come again. Oh God, pour out your Spirit on us, pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Make these gifts at this table today the body and blood of Christ, and make us through these gifts Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
We thank you, O God, for these sacred gifts. We thank you for feeding us with our body, our hearts, and our souls. We pray now that we will go fed and restored to all your people in every corner, sharing the love and justice that is part of your beloved community. Amen. Let us stand together and sing our final hymn, verses 1 and 4. The Lord make us more holy. Remember. This day, this night, and throughout all eternity.